Hello there, I'm your host, McNeil Mulliken, and you are listening to the McNeil and Friends podcast. Here I invite different people to talk about all topics relating to cinema. Visit the McNeil and Friends podcast website at www.McNeilandFriendsPodcast.com to learn more about the podcast and where you can find episodes. You can support the McNeil and Friends podcast by following or subscribing on the platform you listen to podcasts and by leaving a rating or a review. You can also support the McNeil and Friends podcast by telling your friends, and if you don't have any, you can tell your family. Thank you for listening. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Season 4 of the McNeil and Friends podcast. Today, I'm here with my friend Cody Hildebrand, and we're going to rank our top 10 favorite comic book movie moments. How's it going, Cody?
It's going great, bro. You know, honestly, ever since you told me about this, I haven't thought anything about the list up until I just made it. So we're going to see how this is going to go. We're going to see how if my number one could be number 10, if my number 10 could be number one, I'm probably going to interchange as I go. But, you know, it's very, very natural in how I thought of everything. So we're going to find out and see what happens, bro.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I think my strategy was a bit different. I was like, I got to be really careful with which one I'm going to put at 10. So I was like, how can I be somewhat objective with this while also taking into consideration which one's my personal favorites? And it was a hot mess. It was complicated.
Dude, I live my life as a hot mess. So, like, that's how my list is going to go. Let's do it, bro.
All right. So, I wanted to do this episode because we're getting really close to episode 100. And I was like, I got to do another comic book movie episode with Cody. You know? We've done a few.
Do you have anything special for episode 100?
I do, but it's a surprise.
No. I want to know.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. So, I wanted to do another one of these, another comic book topic. And before we get into anything, remind people about why you like comic book movies.
So ever since I was a kid, I loved Batman. Ever since I can remember, I've always loved Batman. And, you know, I guess as a kid, you know, that's what I grew up on. You know, just loving comic books, and then you have more comic books movies coming out.
Yeah, and when constantly. It's
literally
insane.
it's the biggest it's ever been. And, like, honestly, we are so spoiled with the movies we have right now compared to, like, way back when.
Think about it, like, let's take 2008, for example. We had Iron Man, The Dark Knight, and The Incredible Hulk. I don't think anybody would have thought that just because we got Iron Man, it would have spawned all of these other MCU movies and just so many things that come out of the 2010s, and it's that pattern is continuing into this decade we're in now, the 2020s.
Yes.
So
yes, sir.
It's crazy.
Dude, it literally is crazy, because I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was like, man, dude, so Iron Man came out in 2008. It's 2021 right now.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been, 13 years?
Yeah.
Has it been 13 years? Dude, that's crazy to think about. Because I remember going into the theater to watch Iron Man 1. I remember.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see it in theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
I don't think I saw it until 2010, 2011.
Really?
Something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've always liked comic book movies. Like, I remember when the first Batman movie came out with Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah, you told me you saw that in the theaters. You would have been like 3.
Dude, I was young, because my parents knew I loved Batman.
Yeah.
And
that's
I begged them.
That's a dark movie for a 3-year-old.
I begged them.
So we know each other through my brother, Andrew.
Yes.
And he saw Batman Begins when he would have been 6.
Yeah, so I was probably,
and he was
right around there.
Literally scarred for a year. He could not be left alone.
Dude, I remember I begged my parents, please, I want to see it. You know, I'm a little kid. It's Batman.
Right.
I love Batman.
Yeah.
I wanted to go see it. My parents ended up taking me, man. One thing, if you know me, I'm relentless.
Yes.
Absolutely
that
relentless.
That is true. I can confirm that.
Yes. So I railed them, and then they finally went, okay, fine. So they took me to see a PG-13 movie when I was 6.
I can only imagine what a 3-year-old Cody is like when he's trying to be so relentless. That's got
to
be miserable.
It's so hard to explain without being distasteful. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, so before we get into our honorable mentions and our top 10 for this, I'm going to do a quick rapid fire question section, I guess we could call it.
Let's do it.
Favorite superhero in a comic book movie?
Oh, God. Oh, Macknell, you really loaded me up with that one. I can't even. Okay. Right now.
This is a really rapid fire.
Dude, yeah, this is really rapid fire. Because, like, there are so many. Like, because I'm stuck between Deadpool and Captain America. I'm going to give it to Deadpool just because that fits me personally.
It does, yeah.
I'm going to go Deadpool.
I'm going Christian Bale's Batman.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Definitely, 100%.
I would imagine you would have chose, like, Captain Marvel.
Okay. Favorite villain in a comic book movie?
Joker, Heath Ledger.
There we go.
100%.
100% agree.
Dude, I remember when I went and saw that, I had a poster of Heath Ledger in my room. I had to take it down, dude. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. What did that come
I've got on? Two right there.
Yeah, I know. And whenever I look at it, I want to cry.
All right. Favorite superhero team in a comic book movie?
Good Lord. I'm going to be generic and say the Avengers. I'm sorry.
Same. I got to go with the Avengers.
I mean, like, dude, they've had the best movies so far.
Yeah.
I feel like as we progress, more movies come out, it could change.
Could.
Because
maybe.
The Justice League has so much potential for me personally. It hasn't been executed right yet. But I feel like when it is executed right, my answer would change. But for now, it's the Avengers for sure.
Favorite comic book movie?
Did you really just ask me that question and say it's rapid fire?
Yeah.
Dude, I have no idea. I'm going to say Endgame just because that's my favorite movie of all time. But like, if you give me a second to like sit down.
If it's your favorite movie of all time, then that's your favorite comic book movie.
I know, but I could also say Deadpool. I could say Deadpool 2. I could interchange that easy.
Okay, so I'm going with Infinity War. But because, so is your final answer Endgame?
Yeah.
Okay, so because that's a Marvel, what's your favorite DC movie?
Oh, I got to go with, I was confident, now I'm not. I'm going to go Zack Snyder, I'm going to go Zack Snyder cut.
Okay, I'm going The Dark Knight.
Okay, I can respect that. I can 100% respect that for sure.
Cool. Okay, cool. So those were just the five questions I had.
Okay. Wow, dude, I'm not going to lie. My brain just did a backflip. I have no idea.
Okay, well, now you've got a list in front of you that we're going to talk about.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Like I said, we're going to talk about our favorite moments from comic book movies. There's no specific criteria for our lists. So literally anything goes. Epic moments, sad moments, funny moments, anything. So, Cody, what are your five honorable mentions?
Okay, so I'm just going to remind everybody I did this quickly. I can interchange literally anything on this list, but these are just the moments that impacted me and got me the most excited, that really brought out the emotion they were trying to execute the strongest.
Okay,
whether
cool.
It was sad, happy, whatever.
Yeah, let's hear them.
So for those of you that don't know, my favorite superhero of all time is Nightcrawler. Okay, I love Nightcrawler.
I thought it was Deadpool.
Coolest. Dude, that's what I'm saying, bro. I'm so inconsistent with it, because now that you say Deadpool, I could say Deadpool. But, okay. Like, normally I could say Nightcrawler.
Okay.
So, my first honorable mention is Nightcrawler in X2 in the Oval Office when he's teleporting everywhere.
That's sick.
Oh, dude, it was so cool. I remember seeing that whenever I saw it for the first time. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to put that honorable mentions, because everything I have on my actual list can top that easy, but I have to add it. I have to say something about it, because it was so amazing.
Okay. What are your others?
Okay, my other honorable mentions, I have... Oh, dude, I remember cracking up when this happened. Oh, so it was in the first Guardians movie when Groot, when he stuck his arm through all those guys and started banging them around.
Yeah.
And then turned around and gave that smug smile like, hey, look what I did.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
I forgot about that.
Oh, dude, I loved it. I thought it was the funniest thing. I thought it was the absolute funniest thing. So, yeah, I had to put that in there.
Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, I grew up fighting. I grew up doing karate, kickboxing, and all that stuff. So when I do see martial arts used or any kind of fighting, I'm automatically drawn to it. So in the first X-Men movie, it opens up with Wolverine in that cage match just beating the crap out of people. I love it. I love it so freaking much. So I had to put that in honorable mention just because, you know, just seeing the indestructible Wolverine just destroy people. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Because there was that one scene where Wolverine, he just punched a dude's fist and flattened his hand. Just flattened it. You remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I remember seeing that and I'm like,
shattered every bone.
Oh yeah, for sure. I remember thinking, I could do that. Easy. I could do that. And then, oh, dude, I remember laughing hysterically when this happened. It was in the first Guardians movie, The Prison Break. You remember that?
Yes.
Dude, my what really...
Because of everything with Drax.
Oh, everything with Drax. And then one of my favorite things was, like, they're talking about the plan, and then Groot just kind of moves aside and just brings out the thing they were supposed to do last, getting that battery core. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember Rocket was like, we need to get that last because the alarm's going to set off. And Groot didn't hear that, so he just went and grabbed it.
Yeah.
But then they had to, like, all right, I guess we're going to do this, that, and the other now.
Yeah.
I remember cracking up about that. I really relate to Groot, which is so sad to say, but, like, act so much like Groot, if you haven't noticed. But, you know, because, like,
you say a lot more than Groot, though.
Yeah, I do. I would hope so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go around I am Cody for the rest of my life, but that's who I'd be, straight up. And for my last honorable mention, I just recently saw this. I saw this with you. It's off the new Suicide Squad movie. It's The Beach Invasion.
Yeah.
Just because
the opening sequence.
Everything that happened was so unpredictable and absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
From the weasel not being able to swim.
Yeah.
From Pete Davidson getting dug.
That's the best part of that scene.
Dude, I love Pete Davidson. I was like, oh my God, he's in the movie, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then his head flies off. I'm like, oh, well, there goes Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
And then Boomerang was gone. I mean, they're all just
gone. The detachable
gone.
Kid cracked me up.
Yes.
They're like, dude, what does TDK stand for? He goes, what do you mean? It's just TDK, dude.
Your names are letters.
Your names are, yes.
It was like everybody's names.
And
are
then
letters.
My favorite part was Harley Quinn. She goes, TDK stands for the detachable kid. And then, like, his arms just flew off. And, like, and then they were just swatting his arms off. Like, he was doing absolutely nothing special.
Yeah. Okay, so staying on the topic of the Suicide Squad, my first honorable mention here is the campsite slaughter in the Suicide Squad.
Dude.
That is the funniest moment in that movie.
It's absolutely hilarious.
It's so funny.
I'm not going to lie. I have that on my actual list.
Okay.
I do have that on my actual list.
Has the movie grown on you since we watched it?
For sure.
Okay, because remember when we did the review, you were like, I like it, but I also don't.
Yeah. Now that I've, like, had time to resonate with it, I actually rewatched it.
Oh, you did?
Rewatch it,
cool.
Yes. And now that I kind of, like, knew what to expect, but I also knew what not to expect.
Right.
When I rewatched it with a little bit more of an open mind.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Because, dude, the comedy in there,
it's great.
It's fantastic.
I had the same experience as you, though, because the first time I watched it, I was like, it's okay. And then the second time, I was like, this is great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And the second time I watched it was with you.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, my next one here is in X-Men Days of Future Past. The old Professor X meets young Professor X, and they have this really deep, meaningful philosophical conversation, and it just, you know, gets me every time. I'm like, yes, this
gonna
is
be on
epic.
I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. I have no recollection of it.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Wow, you did Owen Wilson on me. But yeah, I don't know, like, I have no recollection of that one.
That's a shame.
All.
Okay, well, you should have a recollection of this one. The identity reveal in Spider-Man Far From Home.
I remember that very distinctly.
I was shocked.
Dude, I was absolutely
mind blown.
I was mortified.
Yeah, that's another way to describe it.
Because like the first thing I thought of was, like, sometimes I put myself in the shoes of the character.
Yeah.
I was like, man, if I was Spider-Man and everybody saw it was this short Mexican kid, I would have lost it. I absolutely would have lost it. So I can't imagine what Peter was feeling.
Yeah.
And who knows what we're going to see in the next one.
Yeah. We don't know. We would. I think we'd have some moments to talk about on this list, though. My next one here is the bridge fight sequence from Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Ooh, I forgot about that one. But, like, everything I have on here, I still think is better, in my opinion. But I'm not gonna lie, that's some of the best choreography.
That's what I was gonna say. When it comes to fight choreography, that's some of the best in any comic book movie I've ever seen.
Because it is hand to hand combat.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're using weapons.
I will say, though, the only movie I've seen that actually tops that fighting in the MCU is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
I haven't seen that, but, like, Cap, there's no way.
There is.
There's no way.
I promise you, it's incredible how they did all the fight choreography in that movie. Like, it's mind-blowing.
Okay, when I see it and, like, I figured out you lied to me, I'm going to punch your dog.
Okay. Please don't. They're old. The next one is Avengers, the 360 shot where it pans around them, you know, in New York City in the very first one.
Dude, I will never forget. Dude, I'm becoming a kid because I remember when that came out. I remember the first time I saw that, and that was the moment where I was like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to being an Avenger. I remember that. I remember like, I got to get bitten by something. I have to inject myself with something so I can have superpowers, and I got to become Avenger after I saw
that. Yeah, I'm sure any of that will work.
It didn't. I just got short.
That's yeah. Yeah, so those are my honorable mentions. Let's move on to our top 10. So, Cody, what is your number 10?
Okay, so what we just talked about is the... My 10th spot is that camera shot, man.
In the Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right.
Absolutely.
We're doing some good transitions here.
We are, aren't we? Look at us.
Let's stay on top of it.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So you saw that in the theaters?
I did see that in theaters. Dude, I remember I was with one of my friends, Tristan.
Okay.
And I can't remember if I was in middle school or elementary school. I think I was in middle school.
It was 2012, so you would have been in elementary school.
I think I was in fifth grade. I think.
Fourth. I was in sixth.
Okay, so yeah, I would have been in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember me and him, we went and we saw that movie, and dude, the line was out the door.
Yeah.
Because when the Avengers came out, that was the first comic book movie to really be about a team.
Yeah, it was the first... true crossover event. Like, we had X-Men, but it was the X-Men movie. It wasn't a crossover mm-hmm. event. We had Fantastic Four, which were meh, and it wasn't a crossover, obviously. You don't need
because
to have...
Because they all had their individual movies besides, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Right, but they were introduced in the other ones. And
yes.
So they finally brought all six of these characters together for this big moment, and that shot is really what kind of culminated everything. You know,
dude, my only gripe, my only
cap
freaking,
suit,
dude, that's exactly what I was going to say. Cap suit. It,
like, I knew where you're going with
it. It looks like a skin tight blue body condom. Can't, like, I can't even lie to you. It does. It looks terrible. It looks absolutely awful.
I agree. It's not the best. Mm-hmm. I think the one in Endgame was one of the coolest.
Don't
that,
even get me started on the one on Endgame.
That one, Age of Ultron and Winter Soldier were all great.
The Endgame one's the best.
Well, actually, I mean, I take it back. They're all good except that one.
Oh yeah, they're all
even the one in the first Avenger is good.
Because I think that was, since that was the first one, that's why what makes it so good.
Yeah.
But dude, the one in Endgame, I don't know what it is. It's perfect. I think it's the
it's
scales.
Got the scales.
I think that's what did it for me. It's the scales, because it brings back that OG from the comic book,
exactly.
But it made it modern and it made it freaking cool.
Yeah, it did.
They did terrific on Cap suit in Endgame. I could go about that all day.
Yeah. So my number 10 is the airport battle charge in Captain America: Civil War, where they're running at each other, and they're all when they arrive to each other. I don't know how else to say it, but they start fighting, and you're like, you're sitting in the theater, and you're going, oh my god, they're finally fighting,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a comic book nerd's dream come true on screen. And we're, you know,
oh, yeah.
At the time I would have been 16, and I didn't know how they were going to top that battle because it was so epic. And they did.
Oh, they did twice.
Like, more than twice, because there was like two of them in Infinity War, and then there was
we could go all the way around the circle of the MCU talking about fight scenes.
Yeah, we could.
But absolutely, I can agree with you. And that's on my list. So you keep spoiling my list, Mac.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well, we'll wait to talk about that one then, since it's on your list later. So what's your number 9?
So my number 9, as I've said, my favorite MCU character is Cap.
Okay.
And I remember watching the first movie being very upset because he didn't get his powers. But when he did, that boy went nuts. And I loved it. I loved it. It's absolutely one of my favorite scenes because, like, you see this.
Wait, to clarify, you're talking about the scene where he goes into the bottle and
yep.
comes out.
Yep.
And, okay.
When he comes out, then he chases that car down. Like, I
wow.
I,
okay.
I loved
so that's
it.
A top 10 moment for you.
It has to be.
Wow.
Because I don't know why I relate with Captain America, because I am so far from him.
Very much so.
Very much so. I'm so far from
him. But he's
him.
Like, he's the everyman, so everybody can aspire to be him. Maybe that's what you're talking about.
It could be. I have no idea. But only thing I know is that when I saw that, I would have been down to marry Chris Evans at that moment, for sure.
Pretty sure that Haley Atwell, who plays Peggy Carter, was as well. Because if you saw, she did that improv thing. She even said in an interview, this was improv, where she, like, her hand went out and she touched his chest and then kind of pulled her hand back because she was like, oh my God, I just touched his chest.
Okay, yeah, but dude, it's like every time I rewatch the movie, because I've rewatched the movie a couple times since it's been out. And like,
oh, I've seen it countless times.
Oh, I like, dude, I've probably seen it at least 8 times, I'm gonna be real.
Honestly, probably same. Something like that.
For sure. And every single time I see that scene, I get excited.
Like, it's a good
every
scene.
Every single time. Because, dude, it is so awesome to see him run so fast.
Yeah.
Rip the car door off. Save that kid from drowning, which was hilarious.
Yeah, he was like, it's okay, I can swim.
And I was like, oh, he can swim. You go get him. And then when he goes into the submarine, he punches the window and breaks it, which I'm not sure if you've ever thrown a punch underwater, but that's hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to get.
And it's pretty crazy thinking he literally just got his powers and he's doing all
I know.
Of this.
Like,
yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to have any settling period. He's just like, I'm going to go get this boy.
Yeah.
Pulls the guy with one arm out of the submarine, throws him up.
Yep.
Like, dude, it's just crazy. And it's nuts to think about. It just has to be one of my favorite scenes just for those reasons, straight up.
I never considered that one. I like the scene, but I've never been as big of a Captain America fan as everybody else.
Yeah.
And so that scene just never crossed my mind. Not that I dislike it. It's just, it doesn't compare to the ones that are on my top.
I 100% get that. I can so understand that.
So my number 9, that's where we're at, right? Yeah, 9. Mm-hmm. Okay, is the time reversal scene in Zack Snyder's Justice League with The Flash.
Oh, jeez. Dude, that scene right there, like that gave me flashbacks of the Flash TV show.
Dude, this was like my initial thought when I saw that sequence, because we all knew what Justice League was like.
Yeah.
Who thought scrapping scenes like that was a good idea? Seriously.
I would love to have a conversation with that person.
Same.
I would love to. I'd be like,
maybe it's multiple people. I think there probably were. Obviously, Joss Whedon was one. Producers, mm-hmm. Whoever.
I would so talk to him like a dog. I'm going to be like, okay, so you're not good at your job, and that's okay. Because, like, dude, how do you mutilate a movie and put it out and be like, I'm happy with that?
Yeah,
seriously.
I have no idea. Like, who looked at the final product of the Justice League and said, yeah, this is a good movie.
People are going to like this. Are you stupid?
Right. So when I saw the time reversal scene, I mean, I was literally just like jaw on the floor going, oh my God, I cannot believe that the scene was scrapped. This is incredible.
Seriously.
I mean, it was like the epic scale of it, the mm-hmm. emotion in it, the music, the visuals. It was phenomenal. And was one of the coolest comic book movie moments ever, so that's why I had to put it in this list, you know? And
I could
the
completely
Flash,
get that.
The Flash is a character I like, not necessarily one of my favorite superheroes, but that moment was like, this is sweet, mm-hmm. you know? And it's got me excited for the Flash movie coming out. So,
dude, I'm very excited for it. Now, yeah. I don't like the guy that's playing the Flash. I'm not going to lie.
He wouldn't have been my first choice, but I think based off like what everybody saw in Justice League was like obviously very different from what we saw mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Zack Snyder's Justice League. And I thought that, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League did the character, no pun intended, but more justice
I mean,
than Justice League.
You,
so it was, you know, he was better. I think Ezra Miller is a good actor, but he, like I said, not necessarily my first choice, but it was, you know, the performance in Zack Snyder's Justice League was far better than what we got in Justice League. So,
oh yeah,
that scene was great. Love that scene.
I think the scene was awesome. You know, my thing about Ezra Miller, I, you know, I've said this multiple times while we've been on the podcast, I'm a big visual guy. If it don't look right, I don't like it. And I don't know, Ezra Miller, when I look at him, I don't think the Flash. I just don't. I don't know what it is. Now, do I think that he did the best he absolutely could with the Flash? Oh, yeah. I think he did perfectly fine doing the Flash. He had the comedy right. He had that, like, young vibe to him. Happy to be there, just doing his thing. I think he did great, but I don't know. It's just the way he looks, I don't see him as the Flash. But if he's all we got, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm looking forward to the Flash movie.
Me
so
too.
Which number 8?
We already talked about it. It's the killing scene. on the Suicide Squad when you have
campsite slaughter, as I call it.
I love it.
So funny.
Dude, it's seriously my favorite part. Oh, dude, there's so many favorite parts I have in that specific scene. You have John Cena chopping that dude up while he's walking. you have King Shark when he eats somebody, he goes nom nom. And I nom, nom. Love it. like could you imagine that's the last thing you hear when you're dying?
That'd be terrifying. Nom, a shark nom. Picking you up and literally saying nom nom.
See, dude, like honestly, if that's how I were to die, I would be like, yeah, I died on acid, straight up.
Yeah.
A walking shark said nom nom and ate me.
You got a point.
Dude, seriously, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then you have when Peacekeeper, he shot behind his back, and then Bloodsport goes, non-lethal.
Did you say Peacekeeper? It's Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. I'm sorry. Peacemaker. I'm sorry. Peacekeeper is a gun from a video game. I'm sorry.
Okay, I wouldn't know. I'm not a video gamer.
Yeah, and you're weird for it. Yeah. But Peacemaker.
They make me nauseous.
They make you nauseous?
I'm being serious. I get motion sick from video games.
You're making me nauseous just saying that. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. But I guess it's like roller coasters or something. I don't.
You don't like roller coasters?
I like roller coasters, but they make me feel like I want to puke. So.
Yeah, that's weird. But, so, straight up when he shot the non-lethal shot, and then he's like, boom. The dude's everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Bloodsport goes, no one likes a show off. They do when it's dope as f-. And guess what, John Cena? You were exactly right.
Yeah.
Because that scene was hilarious. Awesome. I love that scene. It has to be one of my absolute most favorite things to watch because you can't look away.
No,
you can't. You have a dude in the bathtub.
It's so shockingly hilarious.
It's shocking because the guy in the bathtub had a fan and electrocuted him.
True, yeah. My favorite part in that scene is when they get to the end, like they've killed everybody at the campsite, and they get to the final little tent or whatever at the end, and they see Rick Flagg, right? Rick Flagg's in there, and he's with their leader, and she was like, why did my people not alert me? And they're like, oh, well, we didn't see
no
any
idea.
People.
We didn't
and
see
then
anybody.
Polka Dot Man's like,
we murdered all of them. Or
well,
whatever
he said, I turned them into my mom in my head and killed them all.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. They did Polka Dot Man fantastic because he sucks.
Oh,
he sucks, period.
That's the point of the movie. Dude, they take all of these just horrible characters.
I thought Bloodsport was awesome.
Bloodsport was great.
He was awesome.
Idris Elba was awesome.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, that seems hilarious.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Throughout the entire movie, Polka Dot Man, he's got issues, but it's so fun.
It is hilarious.
Especially the dancing scene. When he turns everybody into his mom and he's just moving really, really weird.
Yeah, we talked about that one in the Suicide Squad review.
That was so mortifying.
Yeah.
So disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, the dark humor of that movie works so well.
It does. It really does. Straight up.
So my number 8 is the interrogation sequence in The Dark Knight.
Oh, with the Joker?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Where they've got the Joker in the room and the lights are turned on and Batman's behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, just beats the crap out of him and throws him up against the walls, punching him in the face and trying to get all this information
out
of
him. I know
him.
You heard that was real.
Yeah.
I know you had to hear that.
That was real. Yeah.
Dude.
Because Heath Ledger literally was like talking to Christian Bale. He's like, okay, Christian, I need you to like actually punch me and throw me around so we make this seem real. And I mean, I would imagine Christian Bale would be like, well, it's going to be real. So,
dude, you know? My thing, like Christian Bale, fantastic actor. If he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame of actors, if there was one. He deserves it, but the dude's got a little bit of an issue with the whole method acting thing.
Heath Ledger did, and Christian
died.
Bale,
and then Christian
does.
Dude, straight up, I have no idea how Christian Bale like lost weight for The Machinist and stuff like that. It's scary.
But
for
he said
health.
That he's done losing and gaining all the weight.
His doctor
told him if he keeps doing it, he's going to die.
Yeah. So I want to know what the conversation was between Heath Ledger and Christian Bale.
I do too. That'd be fascinating to know.
Two things must have happened. Christian Bale either went, all right, let's go. Or he went, are you sure?
Yeah.
And I can imagine Heath Ledger going, oh yeah, dude, it's fine. Let's go.
I'm convinced that it was probably, okay, sure.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I mean, they're both method actors, so
that's true. And like Heath Ledger was absolutely insane, like while playing
when he was
Joker.
In character as Joker, yes? Yeah.
So I bet he had that little switch that was flicking on and off constantly. Mm-hmm. So I bet he was like, "You have to hit me. Come on. I need you to hit me. Come on, Christian Bale." And like, I bet he was like, "All right, let's go." He just decks him in the face, slams his head on the table, yeah, and stuff like that.
That's an awesome scene. I mean, it's just it from more not like from an epic moment or anything like that.
It's
from an acting standpoint.
Oh, dude, it was fantastic.
That's some of the best acting in a comic book movie ever.
Probably because it really wasn't that much acting because it was pretty real.
Yeah, sure.
Like, seriously.
So, yeah, that's my number eight. So, mm-hmm. Moving on to your number seven.
My number seven, again, these are not in any particular order because I simply can't. But we have to talk about this scene because it's probably the most iconic MCU scene, if not the most iconic comic book movie scene. It's the end scene from Endgame when they all come out of the portals. That's
your number seven?
As I said, it's not in any particular order, Macknell, so back off, brah.
Okay.
but seriously, that scene, like, I would be lying if I said I didn't cry. I would.
Dude, literally, I kid you not, third time I saw it in the theaters, when Captain America said Avengers Assemble, I cried.
Absolutely. Because, it was...
And I don't cry in movies.
Dude, you don't cry, period. I mean, I don't either, but, like, you know, the only...
But Captain America saying Avengers Assemble made me cry.
Dude, it was 10 years of edging with him not saying Avengers Assemble. And they knew it. They knew it. They absolutely knew it. Avengers! Then it cuts off. And then finally he goes,
Age of Ultron.
Avengers! Assemble.
It was great.
And I was like, oh my God. It was amazing.
What was it like again?
Oh my God. But dude, when I was in the theater, oh no, I was with you. I was literally with you. When Spider-Man came out and everybody started clapping and hoorahing, oh, dude, that gave me chills. I'm thinking about it and I got chills.
We need to play the music again.
Dude, we were listening to the music before this this podcast and we recorded it. And dude, I'm not going to lie. It's chill inducing. It is. It really is because it brings you back to that moment.
You envision the entire scene as the music's playing, you know?
Oh, it's so good.
You do. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, what's your next one, bro?
Speaking of envisioning scenes from the music, mm-hmm. from the power of music, my number seven is from Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Okay.
When Superman puts on the black suit.
Oh, I forgot about it up until now.
And flies up above Earth and does the Jesus pose.
Oh, dude, I forgot about it up until now, and oh my gosh.
The symbolism, the visuals in it, the music.
Everything.
All of it together is just so good.
It is. It is. Because, like if you're a big Superman fan, I'm not the biggest Superman fan, but I know enough.
Right.
Knowing that the black suit existed within the movies, it just wasn't shown, it was terrible. But right when I saw that, dude, it was the best moment of my life.
My mom, who likes comic book movies, I guess because she has a son who's obsessed with them.
Naturally.
Watched this movie, you know, likes them, enjoys them for what they are. But in that scene, she says she got chills.
Dude, and that's where it really lies. Because, we're super fans, period, point blank. We are. But when you have the casual people that are like, yeah, it's cool, I watch them when they come out.
But when the casual person gets chills, the movie did something right.
Exactly.
That is a testament to the filmmaking of that movie.
And let's just rewind. That was scrapped.
Yes, again, scrapped.
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 I don't understand. It was scrapped. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, well, before we start getting agitated, let's move on to your number
You're not
six.
Already agitated? You're crazy. Okay, so my next one is the Civil War airport scene that we did talk about already.
Yeah.
And I think this one is more so in the middle of my list, and I think that's okay because of everything I have that's about to go up.
Okay.
But I remember, I think I had to been in seventh grade, I think.
With Civil War?
I think so, seventh or eighth grade.
You would have been eighth because I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay, so I was in eighth grade. I remember the day before I was about to go see it. It was a Friday. and I was in the library with my friend I was about to go with, I think. I don't remember, but I just remember talking, having a deep conversation about it in the library.
Yeah, that's the point. That's what matters.
Yes. And I just remember sitting there thinking, like, I don't think there's going to be a better movie after this. I really didn't think so.
Yeah, we were wrong twice. So. Dude,
I was so wrong.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was the peak of the movie, that airport scene. Period. It was the peak of the movie.
It was really cool. I mean, I think the peak of the movie technically is the final fight between Captain America, Iron Man, and Bucky.
Yeah, that was the climax, but the best part was the airport.
The airport moment was like, it was fan service. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It was super cool to see them all fight, but the most emotional part was there at the end. But still, I agree, the airport battle is my favorite part of that.
And also, I'm a pretty solid Spider-Man fan. You're a way bigger Spider-Man fan than I am, but we both love the character, period.
Right, yeah.
So when we first heard that, under Roos, and then you just see Spider-Man yank Cap's shield and just go, hey, everyone. Like, that is the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah, that was
sick. I love it.
That was awesome.
Dude, I'm getting chills again. Dude, I swear, my body's so confused right now.
Yeah. that's a great one. But, yeah, I guess I don't really have much to add to it because we already talked about it, you know.
Like, yes, sir.
That's your favorite part, the Spider-Man part from it, I guess?
Dude, we could have a whole podcast on that one scene.
We could. All right, so my number six is staying in the realm of the MCU.
Okay.
Avengers Endgame, I am Iron Man.
Oh my gosh, how did I forget about that?
You forgot about that?
It's not on my list.
Oh my god.
It's not my
That's
so
insane.
I'm so sorry. But
you need to apologize to Robert Downey Jr. and everybody involved in Marvel right now.
Fight me.
Anyway, we're getting carried away. So Iron Man, the I am Iron Man scene at the end of Avengers Endgame is so epic. And I think what is so cool about it is that it's literally the culmination of not just Tony Stark's character arc.
It's the bow being tied
on the entire Infinity Saga.
I personally think that the Infinity Saga, they could have done a little bit more. I feel like there were just more barriers. I wanted to see the character of Thanos get a little bit more dug into. Because I personally know the background of it just because I know the comics.
Right.
And I feel like that would have been so well.
I think we'll still learn more about him.
I hope we do. I mean, he's decapitated now, which is dope, but whatever.
Yeah. I think we'll still learn more about him, but
I hope so.
That scene is not just epic. Like, it's even heartbreaking because...
How hard did you cry? Be real with me. How hard did you cry?
I
cried. If you say you didn't cry...
Yeah, I cried.
I'm leaving.
I cried.
Okay.
However, okay. I didn't have, like... I've never had a tear stream down my face from a movie in my life. I had... My eyes were getting watery.
Yeah.
And
that's crying.
That was the extent of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Dude, okay. So, me and you were in the same realm with that. Me considered crying is my tears water, or my eyes watering up.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. There was one moment in Endgame that I'm going to talk about on my list where I did have a tear run down my face. And I remember being made fun of by your brother about it.
Yeah, well.
But it's fine because, Andrew, remember, I'm under your bed every night. Okay, anyway.
So, I wonder if that scene you're talking about is on mine as well, but I guess we'll find out.
If it's not, we're going to have a problem.
Okay. I don't think we'll have a problem, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, we will.
Okay. If it's, anyway, I'm not even going to start doing what ifs. So, that was my number six, Iron Man moment. What is your number five? Top five, halfway point.
Yes, sir. So... this movie gets a lot of hate, very well deserved, but this scene, if you say you don't like this scene...
Hold on a second. I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Because I think, just based off what you said,
okay,
I'm pretty sure that this is the same scene here. You want to say it
Okay, yeah.
You want to see what happens?
Okay.
Okay, say the scene, not the movie, right?
Okay.
Or the movie.
Let's just do the movie.
Okay. 3, 2... One.
Spider-Man
the Amazing
3.
Spider-Man 2.
What is wrong with you?
What's
I said the movie
you?
Was hated. Okay, let me just explain.
Same.
Let me just explain.
Yeah, both of these are
Spider-Man 3,
not very well received.
No, Spider-Man 3 was terribly received.
Agreed. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Neither one, Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3, were both poorly received overall.
Well, I'm talking about Spider-Man 3 when he gets the symbiote.
That is a cool moment.
Dude,
that is a
because
cool
like
moment.
When he's like laying in his bed just waiting for Uncle Ben's killer to hear it on the police radio and mm-hmm. then he falls asleep. And then you have the symbiote, you know, latch onto him, and then next thing you know, it zooms into his eye, then it zooms out, then he's just in that awesome black suit. Oh, it's so freaking cool.
And he, you know, goes up against the building.
Yeah, and then you see his
thing.
Reflection. Oh,
that
dude.
Is a cool moment.
It is.
I rewatched the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy recently, and I really don't like Spider-Man 3. There's a lot wrong with it, but that's about one of the only few redeeming moments in that mm-hmm. movie, and one of the most laughably horrible scenes in that movie.
Was that dancing,
the
bro.
The dance scene.
And, you know...
so bad.
And, you know, I whenever I watch that movie, I'm like, man, that's so stupid. But I know damn well that I have done that in my house with nobody there.
I believe that.
Seriously.
So, I really thought you were going to go with The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the same scene that I had here. The death of Gwen Stacy.
I have nothing in The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield on my list.
The death of Gwen Stacy.
That was terrible.
That scene... was executed so well.
It was so well, but so bad at the same time. It was terrible.
Gut-wrenching.
Yes.
Emotional. Andrew Garfield's acting with how he reacted to that particular scene
dude,
was great.
So, as I said, I put myself in the shoes of characters. And, you know, yeah. there was this girl I liked at the time when that movie came out.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you were 12?
Hey. We have feelings at 12.
I know. I'm just saying.
But no, I really liked a girl at the time.
Okay.
And I remember when she died, I thought, what if that was my girl?
I mean, I think that's the point of the scene because, you know,
yes.
like, just like we talked about Captain America kind of being the everyman, Spider-Man is that way as well.
Spider-Man's anybody, a lot more relatable.
Though. Yeah, he's definitely more relatable because he's not this... Captain America is kind of like this staple for morality, whereas
oh, yeah,
Peter Parker, you know, there can be some gray.
He has
area
more
sometime.
Conflict within himself than Cap does.
Exactly, yeah. Captain America is like 100% gonna do the right thing all the time. There's no question about it. Whereas yeah. Peter Parker, like, he has some edgy moments, mm-hmm. and because of that, he's more relatable. And because of the relatability, you can put yourself in his shoes in
oh,
that
yeah.
scene, and you just feel for him. And Andrew Garfield's acting was so good at allowing you to relate in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the three actors who have played Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield has the widest range.
Are you talking about emotionally?
Yeah, just as an actor, if you view his other work,
he's the strongest actor. I
like,
can agree with that.
He's the one that would be most likely to win an Academy Award of the three of them.
I can so agree with that.
If
now,
you've seen
Tom
like,
Holland has a lot of growing to do, so
yeah, he's still
we don't
young.
Know, but as of right now, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
with
I mean, if you've seen his movies like The Social Network and Silence mm-hmm. and Hacksaw Ridge and
I still haven't
so
seen
on,
Hacksaw
so forth,
Ridge. I really want to see
oh,
that
it's
movie.
Great. I mean, he is clearly, no doubt, the best actor. I really like his portrayal of Spider-Man as well. I know some people aren't a huge fan, but I really like him. When I think mm-hmm. of Spider-Man, his iteration of the character is kind of how I envision it, how I would envision the character from reading the comics as well.
I just
my interpretation
that.
Of it. But
I
mean, that scene was so good. I think there's plenty wrong with The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'd be the first to admit that. There's so
yeah.
many problems with it. It had the potential to be a great movie, just like Spider-Man 3. But that scene was executed so well,
mm-hmm.
I thought, the death of Gwen Stacy. And it was... While it was so emotional, very sad, devastating, it was phenomenally crafted. So,
oh, yeah. I think the Amazing Spider-Man, it's really weird because the first Amazing Spider-Man, the suit was awful.
I actually like it, but I
well,
know,
you're
I
wrong.
Know I'm in the minority
you're
there,
wrong.
So.
You're just wrong.
So
you're okay. not just a minority. You're just wrong.
That's fine.
Okay.
Whatever.
But the Amazing Spider-Man 2, the suit was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. That was the
absolutely
the best
gorgeous.
Spider-Man suit in any movie.
See, I think it's the most comic accurate.
Yeah.
But my favorite suit is Tom Holland's suit.
Which one?
From Civil War. The first one he got.
Okay. I really like the one that he had in Far From Home where it's like the red and black. I thought that one was cool.
Personally, it's cool, sure, but I don't like it.
I liked it.
I don't like it. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I just think that Tom Holland's first suit was beautiful, but the most comic accurate has to be from The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
And it doesn't... It's clearly not a CGI suit like Tom Holland's kind mm-hmm. of look. You know what
I feel, yeah, Tom Holland's suit, it's real, but they have a CGI overlay on it.
Yeah, it's they need to get rid of it. So, What's your number four?
Number four, it's from Deadpool.
I figured you'd have some Deadpool in here.
Oh, I have to. Now, honestly, I could put together top 10 moments from Deadpool movies easy.
I'm sure you could.
But the one that always stands out to me and I think is probably one of the best at depicting who Deadpool really is the bullet count scene in the beginning. Remember when he's on the highway and he's counting the bullets? My favorite part is when he kills that dude and he goes, 3, 2, stupid, worth it. it just depicts who Deadpool is.
Yeah.
Then he does the corkscrew off the car, and then he shoots it, and then he kills two guys, and then the last one has the bullet stuck in his head.
Yeah.
I just think it's awesome because it depicts who Deadpool is. It depicts how awesome Deadpool is and just how versatile he is with fighting and everything.
Yeah.
So I have to give that scene credit.
That is a good scene. I don't have any Deadpool in here, but Deadpool's not really my cup of tea.
Yeah.
I think they're fine. And I personally like the second one better. If I had to have any particular Deadpool moment as my favorite, it'd be the one where it's the X-Force and they're going out of the plane and they all die, kind of like they do in the beginning of the Suicide Squad.
You had the Invisible Man.
As Brad Pitt. That would be the best moment for me. Or when in Deadpool 2 where, what's his name? Cable, played by Josh Brolin, said, he asked Deadpool who he was. He was like, I'm Batman.
See, Deadpool isn't your cup of tea just because you're not a comedy guy. However, I am.
Right.
But we both can agree that those movies crafted Deadpool perfectly.
Yeah. They were the Deadpool movies accurately portray the character 100%. 1,000%. Yeah.
Because Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, period.
Yeah, totally.
There are three actors that will never be replaced. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, RDJ as Iron Man, and Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
Exactly. Those are the three.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my number four is another, staying on topic with going in the same theme here as my number five, another comic book movie that was not very well received upon its release. Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
I know exactly what you're
about to say. I'm going with The Warehouse
Fight. Oh, yes, sir.
I am a massive Batman fan, just as you are, my friend.
Yes, sir.
And it is the best Batman moment on screen thus far.
100%. No lies were just told. Absolutely.
Two key words, though. Thus far.
That's also true. Yeah. We have no idea what's going to come with Edward being a vampire and also being Batman at the same time.
Yeah, it did take him a long time to become a bat.
Dude,
so,
who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Now, we both have different opinions on that.
I'm super excited for Robert Pattinson's Batman. I know you're not, but we'll see what happens. I'm willing to put money on it. But anyway, the warehouse fight in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice is my favorite fight scene in a comic book movie.
Yeah. Now, that is on my list. 100% it is.
Really? Oh. Okay. Is it your number three?
It's my number one.
Oh.
Absolutely.
You spoiled it. Okay. So,
well, I mean, they're all interchangeable, so...
Yeah.
You
know. But I mean, I think the choreography is great. I'm not going to say it's the best in any comic book movie because I think the bridge fight with Captain America and Bucky was great. There's a lot in Shang-Chi that's really good. But just for me personally, as a Batman fan, seeing this type of fight.
True, just
for the first time.
Violence.
Yeah. I mean, it was brutal.
Dude, straight up. And the whole Batman doesn't kill people. You don't think anybody in that scene died? I almost died watching it.
Batman was killing in that movie, though. Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with Batman killing.
I think Batman needs to be depicted more as an anti-hero than an actual superhero.
I think not. I would disagree with that. I think Batman should be depicted as a very deeply flawed hero.
Okay, yeah.
But I think... where was I going with this?
I have no idea. I was about to say, ooh, you're losing your train of thought now.
I have lost my train of thought. But you said something. I don't remember what it was that you said that made me have a particular thought.
Dude, I have
back up.
I say
what did you
so
say?
Many things.
I know, but what were you recently saying? You said something. It made me think something, and it was very important. No. About Batman.
Violence? Not killing?
Batman killing.
Yes.
Yes. What they were doing with Batman and Batman vs. Superman, he was killing.
Okay.
However, I don't have a problem with the version of Batman that they had portrayed in this movie. The problem was that we never knew exactly why he had gotten this jaded. mm-hmm. needed to see that evolution happen in order for us to actually buy into why he has become the way he is.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And if that's the case, I'm totally fine. Batman is a dark enough character to where you could understand why he maybe has kind of lost it mentally and mm-hmm. maybe decided to totally abandon the code that he lives by.
Yeah.
And I would totally be on board with that for a movie, but we didn't have that build up, so that particular aspect of the character didn't pay off well, but that fight scene alone, awesome. Mm-hmm. I've watched it so many times, just go to watch it on YouTube, you know, because it's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best, it's the best Batman fight scene in any Batman movie. Like, the Dark Knight trilogy is great, but the fight choreography is probably the weakest element of that trilogy.
I could agree with that. Now, they do have some cool scenes in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Cool scenes, yeah, but...
But none of them even touch the warehouse.
No,
scene.
Not
like,
at all.
Let me unpack what I said earlier. I think that Batman may be best as an anti-hero simply because he's dark. He's yeah. dark. He has issues. He has a bad past. I feel like if they unpacked that version within the movies, I feel like it would be beautiful.
I think that's what we're going to get with Robert Pattinson, though.
I don't know. Honestly.
I think it's going to get really dark. I don't think we will have seen anything quite that dark in a Batman movie yet. I mean, just look at the tone of the trailer. It feels like you're watching Seven.
Feels like I'm watching Twilight.
Nope. I don't think we watched the same trailer. But on that note, what is your number three?
My number three, you know, like the most interchangeable parts of my list are the top three.
Okay.
Now, this movie, again, was bad. It was bad. Easy. It was easily a bad movie, but I saw it when I was a kid, and I loved it when I was a kid, and I still, when I do rewatch it, I do have a little bit more love for it. It's X-Men Origins Wolverine. Now, the scene I'm talking about is when he gets his adamantium claws. That is so dope, just to see Hugh Jackman just being absolutely diced and just ripping out of the water, screaming, and then just goes just destructive on everybody. Oh, I love it so much because it brings that animal part of Wolverine
out. It does, yeah. The movie, horrible. I'll give you that scene. That's a very like visually distinctive scene,
mm-hmm.
and I won't forget that scene. But I guess I don't think about it all that much because of how trash the movie was.
See, like, when people say it's trash like that, I understand. I absolutely understand. But I think since I have so much nostalgia with it, I just have to be on the side that it is.
It's a guilty pleasure of mine because I saw it when I was a kid as well. I was 9 when it came out. And so, like, I liked it then. And then I got to be in high school, rewatched the X-Men movies, the ones that were out at that point in time. And I was like, no, this is not as good as I thought it was when I was a kid. And mm-hmm. that happened with Spider-Man 3 for me as well. I was 7 when that movie came out.
Oh, 100%. Same yeah. way. Same with, the George Clooney depiction.
Oh, yeah. When I was, like, 5 or 6 or whatever, I loved Batman and Robin. And then I grew up and I actually probably became like 10 and could realize that Batman and Robin was trash.
Oh yeah. I saw it. Like, my age was probably still easily in single digits when I saw it. And then I was like, it's so cool. Like, I don't really know what's going on, but I kind of can watch it.
The Iceman cometh.
Oh dude. Like, I'm not going to lie. Arnold Schwarzenegger playing Mr. Freeze.
It's so cartoonish version.
It's cartoonish. It doesn't work.
No, not at all. Bit. Freeze. Chill.
Like, dude, shut up. Like,
yeah, so bad. Hi, Freeze. I'm Batman. You want to see my Bat credit card?
What was up with that? Don't even get me started on the bat nipples. We could destroy
them.
They
were in Batman Forever. Val Kilmer was the first with the bat nipples, though, just to clarify.
I know.
They weren't as noticeable, though, because the suit was black. But anyway, what was your number three again?
It was the X-Men Origins.
That's right, yeah.
Yes. Wow, we really got off topic with that one. We did. But that's the point of a podcast, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can give you that scene. I understand why I personally wouldn't put it that high.
Yeah.
But I'd probably go with something, you know, from Logan or even the Wolverine before I'd go with X-Men Origins, though.
Yeah, see, like, when I grew up, my first two favorite superheroes were Batman and Wolverine. Those are just my favorites, so I have a little bit of a
Wolverine's
sentiment.
Up there for me.
Oh, dude, he's so cool.
Like, top 5.
Oh yeah, awesome. Like I have a ton of comics of him. That was just my bread and butter when I was a kid, and it's probably always going to be something I'm always going to support.
Yeah, for me it was from Marvel, because we're talking about Wolverine. It was always Spider-Man, Ant-Man, Daredevil, Moon Knight, Wolverine.
I love Daredevil too. When I was a kid, Daredevil, Wolverine, and Batman are the ones that I really, really love.
Batman has over time become my favorite. Spider-Man as a kid was always my favorite, but
I get that.
But yeah, I can understand that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So my number three is, we're going to bring out my villainous side here, because I love it when the bad guys win.
Which is weird, by the way, because your favorite is Infinity War, because people died at the end.
It was great, man.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Terrible.
The snap, Avengers Infinity War and Thanos won. You could argue.
So
whether,
I just called that.
Yeah. You could argue whether he was right or not.
He was wrong. There is no argument.
There's an argument. There's an argument. I get the argument, but ultimately I don't agree. It's just interesting.
It is interesting.
You know what I mean?
It is interesting.
His point was that the population of the universe is using the resources, and they're going to be basically wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And so his solution was, well, how about we just get rid of half the universe? So that way that doesn't happen. If you do that, that's still going to happen, because the population is eventually going to catch back up. Mm-hmm. So the other argument is, why don't you double the resources? And then your problem could just be, well, then humanity is going to repopulate even quicker, because the more repopulates, the faster the population is going to grow. I mean, just look at the curve of the population growth of the planet from the beginning of time.
Ain't that the truth?
And so, I mean, even the past just few decades, it's a crazy spike. So yeah, you could argue Thanos' point, whether he was wrong or not. The point is, you understand where he's coming from. His character is fleshed out enough where you understand his motivation.
You definitely understand his logic, for sure.
Yeah, he's not just this one-dimensional character who just wants more power, like a lot of villains, even in the MCU movies. But this character is deeply complex.
He is.
And
he's
flawed,
very, very complex.
And has a very skewed perspective on how things need to be corrected. Mm-hmm. He has the Infinity Gauntlet. He can solve any problem, and that's how he chooses to solve it. I'm not going to lie, it's interesting.
I mean, because like you already said it, why don't you just double the resources? The same outcome's going to happen. Like, there are so many ways to think about it.
Right.
And that's why I wish they would have enveloped a little bit more into the character of Thanos.
Yeah, and I think that's why I go with Infinity War over Endgame, because in Endgame he's past Thanos. He's not the Thanos we had in Infinity War. So
yeah.
It's not quite.
Yeah,
entire,
they did.
It's not the
they
same.
Did get into more who Thanos was in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
So 100%.
But what I mean by it's interesting, it's not like it's interesting to know like how somebody could get to that mindset and believe that is the answer. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
From a psychological standpoint, like that's absolutely fascinating. And so that's why I like that character so much. And I find villains interesting. The reason I like it when they win is because it's so unconventional. I have a dark sense of humor, so I go like, yeah, I support his cause, but I really don't. You know?
I hope you don't.
Like in Harry Potter, I always jokingly say like, because of Voldemort, and he's a bad guy. And
I wonder how he smells.
Voldemort?
Yeah, I'm not talking, I'm talking about like, what is the scent that Voldemort gives off? And I'm not talking about how his nose works. Because he looks like he smells like berries and cream, doesn't he?
You ever seen those like really like the black candles that you see, and they have like a really strange charcoal scent? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Look right over there.
That?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go sniff it?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh no, that smells way too good to be Voldemort.
Okay, post sniff of candle. No. Just because I feel like that smells way too good for Voldemort.
It was
he has to have BO.
I just looked at it. I remembered I had a black candle over there. And so I was like, you know, maybe I don't even remember what it smells like. I haven't lit it in forever. But anyway, aside from how Voldemort smells, I would jokingly talk about how I support his cause as a villain. But I really don't. And so I make the same joke with Thanos. But anyway, like, I just like unconventional endings. It's just not what you expect. And so I like that.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. The end of Infinity War with the snap was absolutely shocking. It was insane. And I looked over, like I went with so many friends from high school, and I looked down the row and everybody was like in tears because Spider-Man died, Black Panther died, all of these characters.
The worst one was Spider-Man.
Oh, it was sad. everybody was just in tears because all of their favorite heroes had died. But I was literally smiling from ear to ear because I was like, they finally did something edgy. A villain won. We hadn't had a villain quite like that before in the MCU. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. And I wasn't smiling because they died. I was like, yay. This was unconventional.
Dude, I can only imagine what the people in the theater thought about you. They looked back like, dude, why is this dude smiling?
It was unconventional. It was shocking. And the question that I really needed to have answered that I kept repeating in my mind was, how are they going to bring him back? I knew they were going to bring them back. I knew, and I just needed to know how they were going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm usually a type of person that asks why, but you can't ask that for that. So I had to go to how. How are they going to do
it? I get that. Dude, I remember when I went and saw Infinity War for the first time. Did I go with you?
The second time I saw you were with me, just like the second time I saw Endgame, you were with me.
Yeah. So I specifically remember, I was hurt, dude.
I was just looking at you to see your reaction.
I know you were. But when I looked over, there was this little kid. He had to be no older than 12. He was in tears. And he was just, you know, crying. And he just goes, man. And then drops an F-bomb straight up. Like, did I never tell you that?
I never heard that.
Oh, dude, he was not having it. He was like in tears. He goes, man, and just drops the F-bomb straight up. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, dude, you don't even know how humans reproduce yet. Like, how are you saying that? But he was not happy. And like, I understood.
Yeah.
100% I understood. Yeah, I remember.
So anyway, enough about the snap. That's my number three. What's your number two?
So my number two, we already talked about my number one with the Batman, but this is probably I could put this as my favorite scene ever in any movie ever. It is the fight between Tony Stark, Thor, and Captain America against Thanos in Endgame. Right before everybody comes out of the portals.
Okay. Let's save that then.
Let's save that?
Let's save it.
Okay.
Because I'm just going to knock my number two out right now. All I'm going to say is...
Well, no, there's also another scene that I've thought of. How about we just replace it? Thor came down in Wakanda.
Sure. Yeah, there we go.
Did you get chills from that? I did.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Because he got...
Bring me Thanos!
Dude, oh! Because, bro, the closest character to Superman in the Avengers is Thor, I would have to say. Just because he's very, very powerful. Compared to everybody else. It's probably him and Captain Marvel. They're probably the most powerful. And when he came down almost like in this save the world aspect, and he just like comes down.
And he was so broken too because he lost everything. So you knew what he was going to do.
Absolutely.
And he didn't go for the head. He wanted to see Thanos suffer. And because he did that, everybody else suffered.
He went for the head the second time.
Everybody likes to blame Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah, because...
And I understand, but you can also blame Thor. He could have gone for the head. You could blame
all of them. Realistically, you could blame almost all of them.
But those were the two that were closest to getting him.
Mm-hmm. Dude, realistically, guess who saved the entire world? The rat that let Ant-Man out of the van. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, honestly, you could say that rat saved the entire world. Because, like, what if the rat never stepped on that button?
True.
We don't know.
We wouldn't have had the
Avengers. There are so many ways to look at those movies. But
yeah.
I would have to say one of the most chilling moments I've ever gotten was definitely Thor coming down in Wakanda.
Oh, yeah. That's a great scene.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
All right. So you're replacing that, and we're just going to forget that you had the warehouse in there?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to. Okay. All right. Okay. Sure. Why not? Okay, my number two, portals. We've already talked about it. Mm-hmm. We don't need to go into length again about portals. So portals is my number two.
Okay.
Your number one is that fight scene?
Yes, when Cap grabs Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Is that both?
That's my number one.
All right, well, let's nerd out for a little
bit. Let's do it.
Shall we?
Okay. Let's talk about our reaction to Captain America picking up Mjolnir. Actually, first, let's... Okay, let's back up.
Okay.
We're going to back up to... Age of Ultron,
mm-hmm.
where you see...
Yes, when they're all attempting to...
Which is a great moment. Could have made the list, but it didn't. And so you see Captain America barely move it.
Barely.
He knew.
He knew. Didn't they admit that Cap knew he could?
That was never... It's never confirmed, but you want to hear my argument?
What's up?
I made this exact same argument in my MCU ranking episode I did a couple months ago. I'll make it again because we're on the topic. he had to know, because how else would he have known to summon Mjolnir to him at that point?
See, like, there's multiple ways you can look at it.
No, that's the only way. You're wrong. I'm sorry, Cody. You're wrong.
Macknell, I will tackle you.
No, you won't.
But I won't.
That's not bad.
You go, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
But no, seriously. So, like,
I just don't really feel like being tackled, but anyway.
Don't make me. But seriously, like when Cap, like, you don't know, right? So who knows that when Cap did pull Mjolnir.
Pull Mjolnir.
Yeah, exactly. See, we're on the right topic. Yeah. But no, seriously. So when he did grab it, who knows? Maybe that was when it was so crucial. His adrenaline was running. Maybe that's when he finally felt the power, right, to actually do it. Because in Age of Ultron, they were in a party setting. Everything was relaxed. He didn't really, you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly why I think he didn't want to shatter Thor's ego. He was like, oh, no, I got to put this back down.
There's so many ways to look. Honestly, and that does make sense for the character of Captain America.
Yeah, and here's the argument that people like to make. They go, no, he wasn't worthy then in Age of Ultron because he hadn't told Tony Stark yet about Bucky. And I was like, he didn't even know what he had to tell Tony Stark about Bucky yet. He knew Bucky was alive. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know in that point in Age of Ultron, he went to pick up Mjolnir, or attempted it at least, and put it back down. So I think he didn't know Bucky had killed Tony Stark's parents.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. That argument is irrelevant. So after that happened, I mean, take that into account, whatever. Move on to Endgame. I think he knew, and I think that's how he saw Thor was about to die at the hands of Thanos, and he summoned Mjolnir to him because he knew what he could do with it. He knew he was worthy.
You could be very right.
If you're worthy, he knows, he's seen Thor use it. He knows exactly what to do.
You could be very correct.
Called down the lightning and brought it down and freaking uppercut Thanos with it.
Oh, he did, and that was sweet.
That was a great shot. But I'll never forget the moment you see the hammer lift up and you go, who's it going to?
It's
going
to Cap. I thought it was Thor. Then you hear the ding-ding-ding, and then it's just Captain.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I almost jumped out of my seat in excitement, clapping, but then I remembered there's people behind me. I can't do that. And so it was just so cool. And yeah, that was my immediate reaction to it.
I feel like because it was so unexpected. It was so unexpected. It was amazing. And a lot of people that are casual fans, they're like, oh, that's stupid. You know, you have Captain America doing Thor's power. It happened in the comics.
It did.
It did happen
Black
in the comics.
Black Widow even picked it up in the comics once.
Dude, Wonder Woman picked it up in the comics. There was a DC and Marvel crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder Woman did pick it up.
Yep.
So, you know, there's so many things you could say about it, but nobody on this planet could say they expected it. It was just one of those moments, because, like, I love Captain America, seeing him be very, very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Like that, and just destroy Thanos and everything.
Yeah.
I can't help but just love that scene.
Yeah.
I
had to put that at number one. Mm-hmm. Like, and again, I said before, Captain America's never been a character I gravitated towards as much as maybe somebody like you or some other people that are big Captain America fans.
Yeah.
But that moment, I had never been so excited in a theater in my life.
Oh, I love it.
You know what I've realized is as we've gone through these choices that we've picked for our rankings,
yeah,
we have progressively started geeking out more as we've gone through this episode.
Dude, like, when we end this, we're going to geek out more. It's just we're built, bro.
Yeah, we're nerds.
We are nerds.
What can we say? This was awesome.
Dude.
I had a great time with this topic.
Dude, when we sign off, we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So, Cody, before we talk about whatever it is you want to talk about after we sign off here, where can people find you on social media?
You guys can always find me on Instagram at Cody Hildebrand, CodyHildebrand. Hit me up, DM me, let's talk movies, let's talk about whatever you want. I have no friends. So just hit me up, y'all. And then, you know, I appreciate you having me on here, Mac Nolan.
Yeah. Well, this is the McNeil and Friends podcast. You have friends here.
Who said you were my friend? I'm using you just to get clout off your podcast.
All right,
bro.
Well, I'll be sure to link your information in the description of this episode so you can get some friends.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Really watching out for me.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks again, Cody, for joining me today on this episode. It was a lot of fun.
Of course, man.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, be sure to follow or subscribe to the McNeil and Friends podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating and a review if you want to help support the podcast. You can follow the McNeil and Friends podcast on Instagram at mcneil.and.friends.podcast. message me on Instagram to let me know your favorite moments from comic book movies. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at McNeil Mulligan. Letterboxd is where I post the movies I watch and write reviews. Also, you can find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Twitter. Lastly, you can find the McNeil and Friends podcast on Patreon. Support this podcast by becoming a patron if you so desire. All of this information can be found on the McNeil and Friends podcast website at www.McNeilandFriendsPodcast.com, and you can find a link that will take you to all of these locations in the description of this episode. If you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations, and once again, thank you for listening.